looking at I am the light of the world, and just one verse up there, but in fact, like everything in the Bible, it comes in a context. And the context starts actually in chapter 7, verse 1, where we read this. After this is John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 1. After this, Jesus went around in Galilee. He did not want to go to Judea because the Jewish leaders there were looking for a way to kill him. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, that's the context, going to the Jewish feast of Tabernacles. Verse 14, not until halfway through the festival, that's the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, did Jesus go to the temple courts and begin to teach. So this Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, which we're going to be looking at, it was happening. Jesus didn't go straight away. But when it was halfway through, he went to this Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And then at a point in the ceremony, which I'm going to look at just now, in verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the festival, that's the Jewish Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him will later receive. Up till that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not been glorified. So at a point in time in this Festival of Tabernacles, Jesus stood up and he made that pronouncement. Now we're still at the Festival of Tabernacles, even though we're going to go to chapter 8, verse 12. Other things happened in which Jesus was involved, but it's still at the same festival. In verse 12 of chapter 8, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So all this happened at the Jewish festival of Tabernacles. And as I said, we're going to have a look at that in a moment. If I can just find something to preach here on my iPad. Ah, got something to preach. How exciting is that? Very relieved, I may say. Now, God's people were slaves in Egypt. Bit of history. They were slaves in Egypt. They were badly treated by the Egyptians. They cried out to God, and eventually God intervened, and they were released. But being released meant that they went into the desert. They were now a big nation, and they were in the desert. And that brought with its own challenges. It's one thing to be slaves where everything is taken care of. Yes, you've got to work hard, but at least you're fed and watered. Now they are free from slavery, but they're in the desert. How do you live in the desert when you've got a whole nation to feed? Especially when you are moving around all the time, and you haven't got time in one place to plant and to reap a crop. How do you feed these people? How do you give them water? And by the way, how do you know where to go? You're in the desert. Do you go this way? Do you go that way? How do you know? What do you eat? What do you drink? How do you know where to go? Think for a moment. Just try and put yourself in that position. How does a nation survive in the desert? It's one thing to be a little family, little nomadic family, you can make do. But when you've got a whole nation, how do you do it? Well, the nation Israel did survive, because each day God gave them what the Bible calls manna. Manna literally rained down from the sky. It was a bready kind of thing. And they were told to go and collect it and to eat it. How did they survive? Well, God miraculously provided for them in the desert. What about water? Well, one time there was water, but the water was stale. It was horrible. And so God told Moses, who was their leader, take a branch, throw it in the water, and miraculously the water became sweet. And then there was another time when there was no water at all. And God told Moses, their leader, to hit the rock with his staff. And miraculously water came out of the rock. How did they survive? Well, God provided for them in miraculous ways. What about where to go every day? How did they know where to go every day? Well, once again, God provided miraculously for them. A great cloud went ahead of them. And when the cloud came to a standstill, the people came to a standstill. And they set up camp, and they stayed in that camp until the cloud moved, and then they would break camp and they would follow it. But here was the really cool thing. It was a white cloud during the day, but when the sun came down, it became a cloud of fire. And so they could see what they were doing in the camp. It was God's amazing provision for them in the desert. So they were fully cared for in the desert. But then the day came when God led them into their own country. And when they got into their own country, they started to build houses. They started to farm the land. And when that happened, the provision of manna coming down from heaven stopped. God's miraculous provision of water stopped. And the cloud no longer went ahead of them, although it didn't disappear. It now hovered over the temple. It became a reminder to them that God was always with them. It was a reminder. Now, that word reminder, that word remember, it's an important word. God wanted his people to remember. God wanted his people to remember that he had freed them from slavery. He wanted his people to remember how he had provided for them in the desert. And so God gave them reminders. Now you know that once a month in the evening we have communion. What is communion? It's a reminder. It helps us to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us. As we break the bread, we remember that his body was broken for us. As we drink from the cup, we remember that his blood was literally poured out for us. Communion is a reminder. And so God gave them reminders as well. And one of the reminders was a festival. A festival. And the one that I want to look at is the one that is called the Festival of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this festival, which Jesus attended, and we read about that in John's Gospel, lasted for 8 days. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, the families had to build these little shelters, very temporary shelters. In fact, Jews still do it today. They build little shelters. Even though they live in the city, they go and live in little shelters in their courtyards, in the yards, or whatever. But they had to build little shelters. They use branches to make them very temporary. And the Bible says they had to be able to see through the roof, to be able to see the stars. What were they remembering? They were remembering the time when they lived in the desert, when they lived under the stars. The time when they had no permanent place to live, living in the shelters helped them remember the time when God had miraculously provided for them in the desert. And then, at this Feast of Tabernacles, at a point in that festival, one of the priests would go to a place that's called the Pool of Siloam. It's the name of a pool in Jerusalem. The priest would go to that pool, he would take a jug of water from the pool, he would bring it back, and he would take that water and he would pour it on the altar. What were they remembering? They were remembering that God miraculously provided water for them while they were wandering in the desert. And then there was one more activity that I want to talk about in the festival. In the temple grounds, there were these 4 giant candlesticks, 22 meters big, 22 meters high were these candlesticks. I don't know how high this roof is. Is this roof 22 meters? Probably higher than this roof. And they took the priest's garment. You could see the priest's garment. They took the garment and they would twist it, and that would become the wick. And they would put the wick into oil. And as part of the ceremony, in the evening of the first day of the festival, they had a ceremony called the illumination of the temple, when these giant candles were lit. And it was said that the light from these candles sent such a blaze that all of Jerusalem around it was lit up. What were they remembering? They were remembering that pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, that had gone ahead of them when they wandered in the desert. They were remembering. These things were given to help them remember. Try and enter the scene of what it must have been like in the festival of the tabernacles. People 30 kilometers around Jerusalem were obliged to come to this festival. Many more people came because it was such an exciting festival. And when they got there, there was really a buzz about the place. After all, it was a festival. There was dancing and singing and eating. They were just celebrating God's goodness. They were excited about what was happening. Jesus, halfway through the festival, he went there. And Jesus was observing. And then Jesus began teaching. And at the very moment when the people were focusing on the water being poured out, remembering the physical water God had provided for them, at that very moment, we read this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from them." Can you imagine the drama of that moment? Everybody focused on remembering the physical water. At that moment, Jesus stands up and he says, "I've got so much more for you than physical water. I've got spiritual water for you." The drama wasn't over. The festival still needed the evening to come when those giant candles were going to be lit. And as those candles were being lit, Jesus makes another amazing statement. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? They were celebrating the light, the cloud God gave them to lead them in the desert. That cloud that became a pillar of fire at night that gave light to every part of the Israelite camp. And as they stood there in the temple court, those giant candles giving light to every part of Jerusalem, and Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In the desert, the Israelites were invited to follow that cloud. And when they followed the cloud, they knew they were always where God wanted them to be, because they were following the cloud that God sent before them. And when they followed that cloud, they were always led to the place where God would provide for them. Do you get that? And when they followed that cloud, they were always in God's will, because God led them to where He wanted them to be. And as they kept on following that cloud, they ended up in the land that God had promised to give them. Because they followed the cloud, because they followed God's leading, they ended up just where God wanted them to end up. Now Jesus is using that to teach them something even bigger. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me." Jesus invites us not to follow a cloud. Jesus invites us to follow Him. And following Him starts when we recognize that we are heading in the wrong direction. When we recognize that we are heading in a direction that takes us away from God, that takes us away from the things that God had promised us. And as Jesus has promised us, He said, "If you follow me, you're going to have more and better life than you ever dreamed possible." Following Him starts when we realize we're going away from the life that He promised us. Not that following Him gives us a life without challenges and hardships. But following him gives us a life that has meaning. It gives us a life that will end up where we get to spend eternity with him in a place the Bible calls heaven. Now, what will heaven be like? Now, this is one of the questions that you're going to be looking at just now, so be thinking about it. What is heaven like? Can you remember the best, most fulfilling moment you have ever enjoyed? Can you remember that? Can you remember the best, most amazing sunset or sunrise that you've ever seen? Can you remember that? Can you remember the best, most memorable evening you spent with family and friends? Can you remember the best, most exciting thing you have ever done? When we decide to follow Jesus, the light of the world, firstly, Jesus forgives us. He wipes the slate clean of all the bad, rebellious things we have done. And he's able to do that because Jesus took the rap for us when he died on the cross. And when we follow him and we accept that forgiveness that he gives us, it allows us to start the journey of following him, which has as its destination heaven. Heaven is the place where all those good things we have mentioned, friends, that's the least to which we can look forward. That's entry-level stuff. The best that we can imagine here, that's the minimum of what we can expect when we get to be with him. Follow him. That is where we will end up. The promise goes on. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. You know what leads us to walking in the darkness? Here's an example. We choose to go our own way. We know we oughtn't to be hanging out with this group of friends. Our parents have spoken to us about it. But we do. And they end up doing stuff which we know we shouldn't do, but we do it because we are with them. We are caught up with them. Oh, why? Why did I do that? Why did I get involved in that? If we follow Jesus, we will always choose to say no to the stuff that ends up with us walking in darkness. We've always wanted a pair of sunglasses like that. And there we see a pair of sunglasses just lying there. We take them, we slip them into our pocket. And we walk in the darkness of regret. Why did I do that? If we follow Jesus, the light of the world, we will never walk in that darkness. Or maybe we need to choose a career. And we make our choice. It just kind of seems good to us. We never prayed about it. We never discussed it. But as time passes, we realize we've made a mistake. And every day it feels like we are walking in darkness. If we follow Jesus, the light of the world, we will never walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. No, that doesn't mean that life's always going to be easy. But when we face challenges, we can have the assurance that Jesus is with us in the challenge, that he will help us. His most frequent means of leading us is through the Bible. But if he's going to be leading us through the Bible, it means we need to be reading the Bible. And I don't mean just picking up the Bible just before we go to sleep at night and fall asleep reading it. And we say he doesn't speak to us through the Bible. Of course he won't speak to us if we do that. But when we make sure our minds are clear and we sit and we give him our attention as we read the Bible, I promise you, he does speak to us. when we can read and we can ask the question, Lord, what are you saying to me through this passage? And then we must remember that Jesus also uses people to speak to us. You see, we are part of a church family. Surely there are enough people in this church family who, when we go to them for advice, for help, for direction, they can help us choose the right path to walk. He speaks to us. We don't have to walk in darkness. We can choose to follow him, the light of the world. We will never walk in darkness. The Old Testament gave us a picture of what Jesus being the light of the world looked like. In the Old Testament, God's people literally followed the light and were led to the place where God wanted them to be. That's the illustration. Today we can still follow the light of the world, Jesus. The way we follow is different, but we are still led to that place that Jesus wants us to be. I am the light of the world. Are you following Jesus, the light of the world? Are you? We got some questions we're going to be looking at. And we're going to discuss these questions. And so let's get into our groups.